having them today with the 11 o'clock is a double blessing. I get to have them. So it's wonderful. I do enjoy the praise, just to throw your hands up and let God have his way sometimes. Amen? Amen. So today, actually the last few weeks, I've been kind of having a running theme. I don't know if you've caught up on it, those who have been here to hear all of them, but I've been dealing with really the heart of Christ, heart of who we are, because that's where Christ resides. And last week we had a catchy little remembrance of how the 3 points, and it was to reduce, reuse, and recycle, right? That's something we all understand in our environmental ways of being diligent. But it revolved around ourselves and how we can prepare ourselves spiritually, right? We reduce ourselves, we reuse, and we recycle what God has given us, our gift, talents. And so today I wanted to go a little further in dealing with the matter of the heart, with our heart. And if I had to have a title, it would be that home is where the heart is, right? We've heard that term before, that home is where your heart is. And so it goes also in biblical terms, that the heart is the place of home. It's the heart that is the place of home. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity once again to come before you, to share your word, your message. We ask that you just open our hearts, open our minds, that we are able to receive what it is you have for us this day. Consecrate me now to your service, Lord, by the power of your grace that's so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope that my will be lost in thine. In the wonderful and precious name of Jesus, amen. Amen. A 5-year plan. Right? Everybody knows about the 5-year plan, right? You set it out, set a goal, you're going to make it happen. Well, my 5-year plan turned into a 10-year plan after those first 5, it didn't happen. But I finally got there. And what that plan was, is I always wanted to work from home. Always wanted to work from home. You're like, who wants to work from home? I did. I like being at home, right? Now, when I wanted this, I didn't have any kids. So, we adjust, right, to situations. And I have a wonderful wife who has arranged things. She is the arrange maker. I mean, she's a manager. If she had been in the corporate world, she would be the CEO of any large conglomerate. But I have her on my conglomerate. So stay back. She's taken. But she allows me to work from home as well without interference from the kids. And what I find, you work from home. Anybody work from home? Has anybody had a chance? Oh, there we go. It is kind of the new way. A lot of businesses are going that way. And what I find working from home is there are some challenges, right? Because home is, it's our home. It's a place of comfort, right? We understand home. We have things that we do at home all the time, like watch television. That kind of gets in the way when you're trying to work, focus. Or with me, I have a yard. I'm a yard guy. I piddle in my yard all the time. And so at times, instead of maybe a lunch break or a little break, I might just go out to my yard and do something. And what I've found is that being at home, I'm finding things that I want to do in the house, right? You sit there and you're looking at the floorboards hours on end, and it's like, you know, we need new floorboards. Or you sit there and you're looking at your kitchen and the lighting's not quite right, and you say, you know, let me just put some track lighting in or something. You know, and then you start these little projects because I'm sitting around the house. Now, if those who've had a house, been homeowners, you understand these things. You're always doing little upkeeps, renovations, trying to make things better. But with all of that, you still have to make that house the place where your family is comfortable. And no matter how much I tweak it and do little things, it doesn't really become a home until the people in it feel comfortable, right? If it's just me in that place, I can make it comfortable for me. But when my wife is there and she's doing her thing and she's done what she's done in the kitchen and the decor and she loves to decorate, she makes it feel like home. When the kids are running around and tearing things up and it looks lived in, right? It becomes a home. It begins to take on a certain presence, an atmosphere. And we all recognize this, maybe not in your own home, but where you grew up, right? When you go back, if you have the fortune of being able to go back to the place you grew up in, it jogs memories. It brings something in you out, right, that no other place can. And that can be good or bad. You know, the place where we raised, when we go back, I know when we go back for Thanksgiving or Christmas and all the families around, it's a great time because I'm reminded of who I am, right? I can't avoid that I'm Bill and Eleanor's son. And I'm the little brother of my sisters. All these dynamics fall back into place. That's home. And that can be a bad thing too, right? Some people, that's why we don't go back home, right? Some of us is like, I'm not going to anything where I know so-and-so is going to be there and so-and-so, because we don't get along. But that's still home. That's that place. And so in our spiritual walk, in our lives, Christ is trying to make home in our hearts. He's trying to set up shop. He's trying to get comfortable, right? He's tweaking things. He's looking around and seeing what he can upgrade. But he wants you in there with him because then it really becomes that home when the two of you are in there together. And so what does that look like? What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm going to climb back in my heart. What are you saying? God is in my heart. My heart's beating. Yes, your heart is an organism and it beats. It has a function. But on the spiritual sense, it is a dwelling place, right? Our emotions. We look at that as in our heart, where we feel things. And so this is where the Spirit resides. It's in our emotions. It's in our feelings. It's how we love others. That's Christ. That's where he's working. And so today I want to look at three ways that Christ uses our heart. Once we accept Christ in our lives and we begin this walk of faith, we go through things on the outside, but God is working on our hearts. And there's three ways I want to look at that happens in our heart, that Christ uses this heart. He uses it, the heart is a helper, and the heart is a healer. And finally, the heart is a home. The heart is a home. But see, the heart is a healing place. And when we get hurt, I don't know if anyone has ever had anyone pass away in their lives. I've had a couple of friends, unfortunately, die when I was very young. And it was a life-changing thing. I never felt so much pain and anger about a situation. And they say, well, time heals all wounds, right? Well, time may heal because maybe we begin to forget certain things. But the healing process isn't true until we really forgive what has happened. See, the other thing we say is like, well, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. And that's fine. The mind is supposed to remember. But the heart is the healing place. It's where we forgive things. And that's how God begins to heal whatever the situation is in our lives. One story I'd like to bring up is the story of Lazarus. And we all know Lazarus died. Mary and Martha were up in arms and they called for Jesus to come, and Jesus said, I'm coming, but he waited. He waited 3 days. And he waited long enough until Lazarus actually did die. And Mary and Martha were very upset. And when he came and they said, Jesus, why did you wait so long? Why didn't you come sooner? He's dead now. What's the point now of you being here? And the Bible says this. It says, when the sisters ran up to him, they said, Lord, the one you love, the one you love is sick and now is dead. And it's striking to me because it's one of the few times where Christ openly says or openly acknowledges that he loves someone. Usually it's a very general statement that he loves us all. But in this particular situation, he does something that he rarely did. He acknowledges that he loves a specific person, and then he also cries for them. Now, why would he cry when he knows he can just bring Lazarus back to life? Well, perhaps because in his heart, he knew what they had gone through. He felt their loss in losing their brother. And he loved them so much that his heart went out to them in their moment of their grieving. That he said, even though I know I can change this, I understand what you're going through. He says to them, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And then he asked them, do you believe this? Do you believe this? And he asks us, do we truly believe that? In our hearts, in our life, in our living. We say it all the time, but do we truly believe that? That he's a resurrecting God. He's a God that in any situation, no matter what's going on, he can change it. He's a transformative God. Mary and Martha weren't sure. They didn't understand the situation. He wept because he understood that they didn't understand. And he forgives us for that. But the heart is a healer. And you know what happens. He tells them to roll the stone away and he says, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus comes out of the grave. And he lives and everyone's shocked and rejoices. But see, it's in these moments. And maybe something like that dramatic hasn't happened to you directly. But think in your life, when there were moments where you just doubted that anything could change, that the situation just was what it was, that you were hurt in that moment, that nothing was really going to take away this pain that you felt. But Christ is the healer. If we turn that over to him in those moments, when the heart is heaviest, we turn that over to him. He heals that. He brings us out of those situations. He reveals his power to heal to us in our lives. And when he heals us, he shows us how he is the helper, how he helps us through these situations. And it changes how we react through life. If you go through something and you feel that pain and you come out of it, even though you remember it, but in your heart, you've gone past it. You're able to move on to the next thing, to receive again, to not hold that guilt, hold that regret, hold that anger. But you've let it go. Then you're able to be a blessing to others. Because as you went through, there are others who are trying to get through. And that's where we become the helpers. We open up ourselves and say, you know what? I've been through what they've been through. Let me just be there for them. Not that you have to say great, eloquent words, but it's just knowing that you've gone through it. you can be strong for them as they go through it. I reminded a friend of mine, very dear friend, and he works a job where he had an opportunity to help out some of the other people at his job, all right, because they have representation at his work. It's like a union is what they call it. And so at his job, he would go and he would speak for some of his other coworkers. And he was just kind of doing this naturally, right? And I'd talk to him about it and he would kind of tell me the situation. And, you know, we're both people who want to help out where we can. Because that's what God does, right? He helps you see the problem. Father always told you, if you see the need, meet the need, if you can. And so he found himself in the situation, but he was just doing it as he could. And the more we talked about it, the more God started opening these doors. And he had more official opportunities to help out his coworkers. And we're talking about it, and, you know, I'm not a guy who, you know, in casual conversation, I'm going to just start speaking Bible verses to you. But Christ is my philosophy, right? Christ is my life. So if I'm talking to you, if I'm not saying a Bible verse, I'm speaking to you from a place of faith, because that's just how I operate. That's all I know. That's my philosophy. And so as we're talking and I'm hearing him, and it's clear to me that God is using him to help out his coworkers. And that the fact that he can step into it in an official capacity is just God's way of affirming what's happening. And so his own inclination to help didn't just turn into that, but now it has him next to the president of the union, to where he's working with the president. And now he's able to help everyone in the state of what they're doing. Not just the guy he's working side by side with, but now he's able to represent the whole state of workers. But see, that's what God does. When we open our hearts, when we see a problem, but we do something about it, we begin to act on that, then God will elevate us to a place of higher responsibility. And he's with us the whole way. We don't have to be scared about it. We don't have to be worried about what's going to happen next. Because when God puts you in a position, he's going to bless that position and what you're doing. Oh, if I can't talk about heart without talking about David, right? David is the man who had the heart of God, right? A man after God's own heart, the Bible says. And we know David's story. He was courageous. He went out and he slew Goliath. He was picked to be king, not because he was big and strong, but because he was out with the sheep. He was watching over the flock. God chose him to be his king. And we know about his passions and his great love for Christ, his great love for God, rather. But that didn't save him from himself. David had his own problems. And that's his humanity. But he didn't fear his situations. That's the heart of God. That's the helper that comes to us. So we shouldn't fear, we shouldn't feel in doubt when we're elevated to do things that maybe it seems like we're not prepared to do. If God opens the door and you see the opportunity and you're going to be able to help someone else step through, the heart will be there. It's the courager. We know the story of the Good Samaritan. Right? Everyone passed him by along the way. No one wanted to stop and help the man who had been robbed and beaten. A priest came by, a Levite who was a man of the law, of the biblical law, kept on going. But then the Samaritan, who was looked down upon by the Jews, right? Because they were half-breeds. They weren't really fully Jewish. They were looked down upon. But it was the Samaritan that stopped and helped him. He had the heart of the helper to do something. And we all understand that. We all know when we see a problem, we want to step in and do something. But a lot of times it's something that's not as obvious. Sometimes it's someone close to us that maybe is not evident that they have this glaring problem. But we feel it. We understand that maybe there's something that I can do. Maybe there's something wrong here. And that's where we need to be present. We need to be there, be the helper. And finally, the heart is a home. It's a place where we dwell. It's a place where Christ dwells in us. The scripture that says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Now, what's interesting about that scripture is the word rest. Christ says, "I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Well, that word rest in the translation is navah. And navah has a dual meaning. It means rest, but the first meaning is home. See, in the Hebrew and the Greek, home is a place of rest. It's recognized as the place where we go to be at peace, to get away from the world. We go home. And the same in our spirit. Christ is saying, "Come to me. Come to your home. Rest in me. Find your comfort in me. Don't worry about the world. Don't worry about the turmoil, the strife, the ins and the outs. But find rest in me, in your home, in this dwelling place." Because we understand that our church, a physical building, but we make a home in the church. It's a family. I was speaking to someone this week and we talked about that, how the dynamics are of the church is so intimate. It's like a family. And just like a family, you don't necessarily get along with everyone. But a lot of things we just let slide because we know that they're our family. We accept them for their little intricacies of who they are. Everyone has their role and we let them play their part like a family. Even when they go away, it may hurt when they leave. It may hurt to say goodbye. But when they come back, what do? We're open arms. We accept them back in. Because we're family. And the church is a family. It's not perfect. You say you can't pick your family, but it's all you got. It's not a perfect place. But it's a home. It's a resting place. It's a sanctuary. It's where we come understanding that we are under God's provision. We're coming to surrender, to worship, to praise. A God who gave his life willingly. So what is it for me to take this time and give of myself willingly to his will? The heart is a tough thing. It's an emotional connection. It calls on something that makes us uncomfortable a lot of times. It's hard to open up and be vulnerable to things. Oh, as a guy, I know this oh too well. Probably only a few people in my life I truly opened up and gave my heart to. But then Christ made a home. And now I find myself crying because ODU beat Virginia Tech last night. I had to get that in there somehow. But it does. It cracks us open. It makes us feel ways that we never felt before. It's like when we have our first child, right? Unconditional love. This is what Christ feels for us. Unconditional. He doesn't put parameters out of it. He doesn't put a qualification on it. We don't deserve it. But nothing can separate us from it. Oh, it's so powerful. Ignatius said this, and I'm going to close out. He said, Jesus Christ is love incarnate. He's the manifestation of the unconditional love of God for us. Anyone who accepts this is bound to experience fruits beyond all expectations. The great turning point in your life comes not when you realize that you love God, but when you realize and fully accept the fact that God loves you unconditionally. That is it. It's hard for us to receive that. He's in your heart today. He's trying to make this house a home, a dwelling place, a resting place. If you could just accept how much he loves you. He doesn't put any stipulation on it. He just wants you to receive him fully and surrender. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this time. We understand that a house is not a home unless you are there. Help us to allow you more space to do your upgrades. Give you more room to dwell, to teach us, that we may feel and understand you deeper. Break us open. Let your spirit move so that we understand that it's not just a walk of faith and thinking and obedience, but it's a walk of growing in our spirit, in our heart, in our love for one another. That's where you show up. How I love you shows up in how I love others. Make that plain to us today. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.